Greetings of love in Jesus' worthy name this evening. I just was really blessed with that song. The whole song has been a favorite of mine since I'm a teenager, I believe. Our light, our life, our love, our all. When you think about that, why is it? It's because of what Jesus has done and what he's still doing. He ever liveth and is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Early in the week, thinking about this responsibility, passage of Scripture came to my mind, and I've tried to every day read that passage. And it's more than one chapter, but it when Brother Luke told me what his text was for the devotional this evening, I said, well, praise the Lord. God once again is doing his work, because I'm just impressed. As I look in Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6, you can open your Bibles there. We just want to do some reading tonight, and then we want to make some comments about the selected reading for this evening. I just am blessed to think about God's provision for us and the design that he has for us. I'm going to start reading in chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the gift, free gift. Note that free gift. Brother Luke just told us a bit ago that the gift costs something. It's free, but it costs something, and it costs a lot. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more, the grace of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And he just got done asking us, how many is it? Jesus' blood is justified. Now, we don't know, but it's many. Praise the Lord. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Wherefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, so even so might grace reign through righteousness to eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus' death were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we should walk. Even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if he be dead with Christ, we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. For in that he died, unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye ought to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that passage says so much. It says so much. Now I want to go back and make a few comments in chapter 5 before we go into chapter 6. This is a baptismal service, but it's also an opportunity to one more time proclaim the gospel message. One more time on this side of eternity. And we know not how many more opportunities we have. We just don't know that. We're not guaranteed a minute from now, much less tomorrow. But I'm just thinking about the reality of Christ, how he came and how he gave his life. It says here, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, and yet God commended his love toward us. All humanity, many, as we heard before this evening, the many who were without hope and without God in the world, and Christ died for them. And that includes you and I if we're saved tonight. And if we're sinners tonight, Christ died for us also. It just remains for us to accept that sin offering to atone for our own sin and call upon the name of Jesus to be saved. We're justified by his blood and we're saved from wrath, just like those of old who were inside those houses when the blood was sprinkled on the doorpost. When God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The safety of the blood, the shed blood, and we apply that to our hearts. When God saves us, we're saved from wrath and justified by his blood. Saved from wrath. You know, that's something people tend to forget. They think about the Jesus that died on the cross, and that's a wonderful thing. But you know, the Bible speaks in another place, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. That's a wonderful thing. And that fountain for sin and for uncleanness is still open for those who come to him to be saved. But let me tell you tonight, the Bible in the book of Revelation also speaks about the wrath of the Lamb. And what in the world would it be like when the Lamb is full of wrath? dealing out justice and judgment on sin and ungodliness. That is a fearful picture. But tonight, the door of salvation stands open. There is a gate that stands ajar, and through its portals gleaming, there's still an open door of opportunity for you to come and serve Christ tonight yet. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more, being reconciled, we are saved by His life. Think about it. Just an amazing fact. We just read there the death of His Son. You go back to Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, it gives the genealogy, the earthly genealogy of Christ. It says Jesus, who was as supposed, in King James, was as supposed, the son of Joseph. And then it goes down through that lineage and all the way down to Seth. And then it says, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. You go back there, you can read it. Luke 3:38. It was God's created son. This is the begotten son here. But Adam was God's created son. It says it there in so many words. The Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write it that way. But I want to make a little comparison. And just for the... this is not totally original with me, although I plan to add a bit to it. I just like to look at, compare two people. Like to compare Jesus and Adam. And that's what the... from verse 12 to the end of chapter 5, that's basically what we're looking at. So we're going to look a little comparison. I'm going to write a few things here on the board. It will help you remember a little bit what we're talking about. Adam. First of all, he was without sin. In his created state in the Garden of Eden, before he fell into sin, he was free from sin. Free from sin. The Spirit of God came and walked with man and talked with man in the cool of the day. A blessed experience that was back then. Walking with man, talking with man, conversing, communion with God and man was wide open until the devil destroyed it. When the devil came with temptation, Adam sinned voluntarily. He sinned voluntarily. He took the forbidden fruit. And you know what? There's probably nothing that tantalizes a person in temptation than that which is forbidden, that which you should not have. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but the devil tries to tempt us with that which we may not have, that which we should not have, that which is not ours. The devil tempts us with that type of thing. That's not his only tactic, but he's used that from way back in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3. They were not allowed to do what they did, but Adam sinned voluntarily. And then he died. He died not only a spiritual death. He died spiritually, and later he died physically. And we all know that from that time forward, all people are affected by sickness and disease and all that type of thing. And sadness and sad experiences and all the bad things that came from that. From that event in history. And Adam died first spiritually. And I don't know what all took place there. I don't know whenever those animals were killed, which we believe probably happened, whenever God made them coats of skins, if God showed to them a picture of the plan of salvation that He had for His people in that time, I don't know. And I don't know how Adam died. I don't know what the Bible really says about that. I don't read too much of that. Maybe somebody has better information on that than I do, but eventually Adam died. He was 900 and some years old, but he died physically. And death passed upon all men because all have sinned. It says that here. Let's compare that to Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus was without sin, was free from sin. Free from sin. He came as the spotless Lamb, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He came to earth free from sin. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, the Bible says. And yet he didn't sin. Jesus never committed sin. And the most amazing fact is that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the most amazing thing is that he died voluntarily to save the seed of Adam that died spiritually. And Jesus' power one day will be such that all who are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they will arise, and the last thing to be destroyed is death, physical death. It will be no more, and it'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Think about it. He died voluntarily to achieve that for you and for me. It's just amazing. It's powerful. It's beautiful to think that we serve such a God that designed that. Because of what Adam did, and because of what we as a human race have done, and to think that Jesus died voluntarily, and yet he never sinned. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. The Lamb is worthy tonight. If you go to the scenes of worship in Revelation, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy. Worthy of honor and glory and power and thanksgiving and praise and all the things that they attribute to the Lamb because he died voluntarily. He wouldn't have had to. But he did for our salvation so that we could simply have a little place in heaven someday. Think of it. Isn't it amazing? The love of Jesus. And Brother Luke commented so beautifully out of Isaiah 53. I just love that passage. And then if you could read the rest of the week, we already read these verses. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, including you and I, on this side of it. Many were made sinners, but by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Because I'm telling you something, to think about the grace of God, we talked about it briefly on Sunday morning, what great God's grace can do. And God's grace reaches out to the most, the saddest person out there. And what can do to save us? And what can do to lift us up from the mire of grace that our feet are on the rock and establish our going is just amazing. Just amazing. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Without him we can do nothing. And then it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And think of it, how sad it would be if after Jesus dies for us, has died for us, and we accept that offering for our own sin. He who is made to be sin for us, and we know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Why should we take that man as a license to sin? Because there's plenty of grace out there. It shouldn't be. In 1 John it says that he who committeth sin is of the devil. But God, the Son of God, was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil in your life and mine. And then it goes right into the fact of baptism, and that's one reason why my mind was drawn to this passage tonight. Know ye not that as many as of us as were baptized into Jesus, and the sisters that were going to be baptized this evening were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. And think of that this evening. The path that raised up Christ from the dead. Remember a few pages in your Bible later it says if the power that raised up him from the dead dwell in you, he shall also quicken by his mortified by his spirit which dwelleth in you. Talk about that over there in chapter 8. And think about that power being at our disposal. The power that raised up Jesus from the dead. And from that point on, death no more have dominion over him. And that power is available for you and I. But it's not just that easy. And that's what this passage deals with. We should walk in newness of life. New life. The gift of new life. That's one of the reasons why a little child is born. It's a gift of new life. And it's exciting. For parents, for grandparents, new life. It's just wonderful. And that's just part of God's plan. And when a person gives their heart to Jesus, what's about the product? It's being born again. It's being born again. New life, praise God. That's what it's about. We should walk in newness of life. And the baptism then is a seal, a public statement, ordinance of baptism, an earthly activity with a heavenly meaning, if you please, just putting it in very simple and elementary terms, that we have turned our back on the life of sin and ungodliness. Now we want to live for Jesus. We want to walk in newness of life today and tomorrow and the next day, and as long as God gives us life and breath. That's what it's about. It's a wonderful thing. We've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We say goodbye to the world. Now a big farewell to the ways of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says come, and I see my home where he waits at the open door. Walking in newness of life. That's what it's about. And then we look forward to the resurrection. If we have turned our back on this life of sin and this spiritual death and walk away from it and say goodbye to the powers of evil and when the temptations come, we renounce it in the name of Jesus. Renounce the powers of darkness in Jesus' name. We have the power to live a resurrected life. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That resurrection power can live even in this mortal body. And it's a miracle that only God gives. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And I know there's people that take this probably farther than we do, and there's probably a lot more here that we could talk about, but I want to get down to verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Only we could keep that in mind. And then verse 13 goes right with it. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Think of it. The members of our body, instead of serving sin, we want to serve God with everything about us, the members that God has given us, with our tongue, with our ears, with our eyes, and even down to our feet. Where we go, the things we do, the way we conduct ourselves. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, as those that are alive from the dead. Holy living, godliness, kindness, The fruit of the Spirit being manifested in this poor, mortal body. And that's just amazing. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. The grace of God is all sufficient, all powerful, and able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. It says God forbid two times. Having to do with that cheap grace idea that the world passes around today. What the grace of God is to free us from sin and keep us free from sin, not save us so we can go back and sin again. It just doesn't work that way. We need to be free and stay free by the grace and help of God. And that's what it's all about. And if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's the mediator. He's the one that goes back to God the Father and says, I was there one day. I know how it feels to be face those temptations. And in a weak moment, maybe they fell. Maybe something happened. And we can confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's just an amazing thing, the God we serve. Servants of righteousness. What does life that look like? Today I was at a farm in another state, and visiting happens to be a man who was driving a skid loader there on the farm, and I kind of suspected by the accent with which he spoke to me that he might know a few words of the Spanish language, and we were soon into a spiritual discussion. It was such a blessing, and he was talking about some of this. He was talking about humility and being like Jesus. And just, he said he loves to read in the four Gospels and just see what Jesus teaches about things. And it was just a wonderful little conversation to hear a man driving a skid loader, feeding them cows, pushing feed in, and hear him talk about Jesus. I just was blessed, really blessed with that. He was talking about modesty and humility. Just good. And that's what God wants from us. Even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness, right living, unto holiness. That holy God we serve. Then he concludes, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that gift we heard about in the devotional this evening, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we're faithful to Christ, and if you sisters are faithful to Christ, one day at a time, 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 one day, if you stay that way and you continue to live that way, there's somebody waiting for you over there. It's the Lord Jesus with nail-scarred hands. He's waiting for you. And he's waiting for every one of us who love his appearing. He's going to come back one of these days. He's coming in the clouds of glory with power and great glory, the Bible says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And this physical death stuff is going to go away. Isn't that something? I just trust that we never forget what Jesus has done for us, and we never forget to thank him. Because, and not another thing, don't forget to tell somebody about it too. There's plenty out there that need to hear it. Plenty of people out there that need to hear it. Let's be faithful in our calling. God bless this assembly.